Book of Romans chapter 8. I'm a little hoarse this morning, so I'm going to try to blow that out here in just a little bit, I hope. Book of Romans chapter 8. Now, what we're going to do today is look at verses 1 through 6. So what I thought I'd do is go ahead and read Romans 8, 1 through 6, and we'll have another word of prayer, and we'll get in on into the message. Also, I want to remind you, while you're thinking of it, on Sunday evenings, I'm finishing up the book of Revelations. We're in Revelations 22. We're looking at the eternal state, how it's going to be. It's a blessed place where we're at in Revelations 22. Maybe one or two more messages and I'll be done with the book. I hope it's been a blessing to you. If you'd like to get the book of Revelations and you got a computer, you can go online. I've got every message I've done on Revelations on there, so you can get every bit of it. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. The Bible promises a blessing to those who hear the book of Revelations and read the book of Revelations. So Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled on us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they which are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or worldly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." All God's people said. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for everyone that's here today. Another good crowd on hand. We're thankful that we believe everybody here today is by divine unction, Lord, and we pray that You would touch hearts here today. We pray that perhaps through this message, Your saints would be uplifted and made to worship You because of the great blessing we have in You. But Lord, we pray for anybody here today that's never trusted You as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to give this a simple title, and the title is going to be No Condemnation. No Condemnation. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at six truths that this text reveals about no condemnation. When we're talking about no condemnation, we're talking about no damnatory sentence. If you're here today and you never trusted Jesus as your Savior, here's what I want you to understand. You're living under a damnatory sentence. The Bible says, those that believe not, I want you to listen to this. Those who believe not, the Bible says, are condemned already. Does everybody get that? Because sometimes people think they're in a kind of a, yeah, I'm not quite saved, but you're either saved or you're not. That's the way it is. And if you're not saved, then you're living under condemnation. And the meaning of condemnation is a damnatory sentence. And you're living under a damnatory sentence if you've never been born again. I'm going to give you six truths about condemnation today, about no condemnation. Are you ready for them? Let me give them to you here at the beginning, and then I'll reiterate them as we get down through the text. The time of no condemnation. That's the first truth we're going to look at. The place of no condemnation. Then number three, the walk, the manner of living of someone that's not under condemnation. We're going to look at that. Number four, the gospel of no condemnation. Number five, the righteousness of no condemnation. And then number six, the change of no condemnation. So there will be 6 points that I have under this message entitled No Condemnation. Now let's look back at chapter 8 and verse 1 and let's get into this message. Kind of set it up for you and then you listen to it as I go through it. I'll try to be quick this morning as usual, but you listen good and tight to the message. Now notice what it says again in verse 1. And we're going to look at the first part of verse 1. There is therefore now. You notice it says now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now it says there is now no condemnation. Now that's a blessed place to be in. That's a blessed place to be in. To be under condemnation means to be under a damnatory sentence. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We point all the time to our Ten Commandments up there, and I'm going to point to them again this morning. Every one of us has something in common this morning. You know what it is? We've all broken the Ten Commandments. We've all broken God's law. Every one of us have. You don't only break God's moral law by the action, but you can also, Jesus taught, break it by the thought. Everybody thinks they're so good. Everybody thinks they're so good. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, folks. In the eyes of God, if you've never trusted Jesus, you're living under a damnatory sentence. And what you need more than anything else is you need to be set free from that sentence. All God's people say it. There's nothing any more important than that whatsoever. So the time of no condemnation needs to be now. You need to do it now. You're already living under it. And you're one breath away, or one trumpet blow away, from that damnatory sentence to be carried out. So, it needs to be, there needs to be a sense of urgency on your part. I tell you, most of the people that I witness to, they believe in condemnation. They believe that they're living under condemnation. But you know what they're doing, don't you? They're gambling. Oh, I'm going to do it, Jeff. I'm going to do it one of these days. I'm going to get out from underneath this damnatory sentence that I'm under. I'm going to get out of that one of these days before I die. Can I ask you a question? You know when you're going to die? You don't know that, do you? I mean, I'm glad. I mean, we all have a time, but the Lord didn't write out on a piece of paper here, Jeff, is going to be your time. We don't know when our time is. That's why we always have to be what? You always have to be ready. You need to be set free. Because if you never trust Jesus, you're living every day of your life. When you get up in the morning, when you lay down at night, you're living under that damnatory sentence. And it's ready to be carried out the moment that you die. When people die without Jesus, they immediately go to condemnation. Does everybody in the house agree? They immediately go to that. So there needs to be a sense of urgency on your part to be under this grand position of being under no condemnation. So the time of no condemnation is to be now. Now, where's the place of no condemnation? Where's the place? Look back at verse 1 again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in who? In Christ. By the way, how you get in Jesus? How you get in Him? What's the access that you can get in Jesus? Well, it's by believing, isn't it? It's by faith in Jesus Christ. It's by believing that Jesus died on Calvary for you and rose again the third day. That's the access in. That's the way that you get in. So he says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and the access into Jesus is through the means of faith. You believe on Him. There was a day in my... Now, I tell you, what happens? How many of you have heard of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit? Raise your right hand. I just want to say the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the Holy Spirit makes that thing real. The Bible says that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in a person's heart, and when He does, they will see their need of a Savior. It won't be, you notice I don't pull people up front. I don't embarrass people. I don't do that for one reason, because it causes false conversions. I'm telling you one thing this morning, when the Spirit of living God gets a hold of your heart and opens your understanding and opens your heart and makes you alive, man, you can't wait to get it. You want it. You got to have it. That's how it is. That's the way that takes place. And the Holy Spirit is the one that brings that about. Well, the place of this no condemnation is in Christ Jesus. You got to get in. You got to get in. You got to get in by what? You got to get in by faith. You got to get in. Poor brother Noah, he preached for 120 years that God was going to destroy the world. didn't he? 120 years he preached that God was going to destroy the world. And I'm sure the Scripture says that Noah was also a preacher of righteousness. So I imagine while he is constructing that massive vessel, you can see a scale model of it over in Cincinnati if you'd like to go there. It's massive. I mean, Brother Ken Ham, they built a scale model of the ark. It's amazing how massive that was. So when they're building this huge boat, don't you imagine people come along the way and looked at it and said, "What in the world, Noah, are you doing?" They probably thought he was a nut. He'd say, "Well, God's going to destroy this place. This world is under a damnatory sentence. And God told me to build this ark, and you need to repent of your sins, and you need to get on this ark when the time's appointed." I think that's exactly what happened. I think every day people probably come along the way and probably made fun of him and laughed at him. He just kept right on building and a building and a building. Until one day it came to pass, what happened? The Lord said, "No, get on. Get on. You get your family. Total of 8 souls is all there was. You and your family, get on." They got on. Remember what happened once they got on that ark? Does anybody remember? What did God do? He shut it. God shut it. And it never opened back up till after that damnatory sentence fell on the whole world. And God brought the flood and destroyed the whole world. The only living souls that were left were those that was on that particular ark. Well, same way is today. This whole world's still under a damnatory sentence. It's still under a damnatory sentence. God's going to destroy it the next time by fire. But not only that, but you as an individual, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're a lawbreaker, you're living under a sin curse. So you're living every day of your life under a damnatory sentence. What I'm trying to tell you this morning, you need to get in. You need to get in. You need to trust Jesus. You need to quit putting that thing off and quit using excuses. And get in while you can. The hardest thing I do as a pastor, the thing that bothers me more than anything else as a pastor, is when someone passes and I witness to them. And I witness to them. And I witness to them. And then their dear, sweet family looks at me and say, "Jeff, did you get to talk to them about the Lord?" And I'd say, "Yeah, I did. I talked to her or him or whatever." And they say, "Jeff, did they trust Jesus?" I don't know. I told them. I told them the way. But whether or not they trusted the way, I don't know. Would y'all agree with me this morning? You can't comfort anybody with a message like that. The greatest thing your family needs to know after you're gone is that you've trusted Jesus. You're not under condemnation. You went off to be with the Lord when you die. The greatest thing you can leave behind in your inheritance. The greatest thing you can leave behind that you as a man or a woman have trusted Jesus. And the day you went out of here, there was no condemnation for Jeff Arthur. All God's people said. That's the greatest thing you can leave behind. How about doing that today? How about quit putting that thing off and let's do that today? You know, the Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That includes you. If you'll call and ask the Lord to save you, say, "Lord, I want to be saved. I want to have eternal life. I want to have forgiveness of sins." He'll do it. There's only one place of no condemnation. One. And that's Jesus. Romans 10:13 says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Y'all believe it? Whosoever does what? Calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just like the old thief on the cross did, he called and the Lord saved him. I called and the Lord saved me. You call, He'll save you. But some of you still waiting on that thing. I think you, here's what I'm trying to impress on you. You think you're in the middle. You're not in the middle. You're either under a damnatory sentence or you're justified. There is no middle part here. You're either on one side or the other. And what I'm telling you is you need to... You know what else? Let me say one more thing here. Some of you plan on doing it one of these days. Well, I know what he's saying is right. And one of these days, I'm going to do something about it. I believe what the preacher's saying today is true, and I'm one of these days. I'm going to do anything about it. Man, you're gambling. The biggest gambler, you know, I say it all the time, the biggest gamblers isn't in Las Vegas. The biggest gamblers are those that believe in a damnatory sentence and believe in eternal life, but have never trusted or called upon Jesus' name and trusted Him. They're gambling with their soul that they'll have another opportunity and that there'll be another day. All God's people say it. All right, we looked at time of no condemnation now. You can leave this building now, today, set free from your damnatory sentence, which means being saved. That's what being saved is, to be set free from a damnatory sentence. The only place where you can get that is where at? Jesus. Only place. Number three. Let's notice the walk of no condemnation. Look at chapter 8 and verse 1 again, the latter part of verse 1. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but they walk after the what? They walk after the Spirit. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. When you trust Jesus, when the Bible talks about your walk, it's talking about your manner of living. And when you trust Jesus as your Savior and you're set free from your damnatory sentence, it changes the way that you live. That's why the Bible said, old things pass away, all things become new. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. That'd be lying if I told you that. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but what I'm trying to tell you is that you'll be changed. You'll be changed. Your walk, when the Bible talks about your walk, it's your manner of life. Your manner of life changes. People will notice that on your job, and people will notice that in your community. Your friends will notice that in you. They'll say, he's different. What happened to him? What happened? I've had people do that before at work. Somebody on the job got saved, and people say, what happened to him? Like, what happened to him? Well, the Lord saved him. And when the Lord saves you, he changes your walk. And your walk is your manner, how you live. It changes how you live. I look for a change in people, beloved. I get excited when people make professions of faith, but I look for a what? I look for a change in them after they're born again. I look for old things to pass away and all things become new. I look for people say to talk about how different the person is now than they were before. I look for a what again? I look for a change. I look for a change in. So your walk is different. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anybody in Christ is a new creation, old things pass away, all things becomes new. Ephesians 5:8 says, ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light of the Lord. Walk as a child of light. That means act as a child of light. Speak as a child of light. Live as a child of light. You're not one in darkness anymore. You got a different way of living. Oh, can I show you a text real fast? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to pick up the pace. 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to try to get this done, and I'm going to invite you to get out from underneath that damnatory sentence today. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm no longer under a damnatory sentence, but I don't go and run loose and go wild, do I? I seek to serve the Lord because of loving. And everybody that's born again does that. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 6. You know, when Paul, I did a study through the book of Acts one time. When Paul went to, when he went to Corinth, he almost left. I mean, he literally, the Corinthians, when you wanted to call someone a bad name back in Bible days, you called him a Corinthian. If I wanted to really cut Rick Casto down, I said, he's a Corinthian. In his conduct. I mean, Corinthians was a horrible place. And when Paul went there, he got ready to leave. And you know what God said in the book of Acts? Speak, Paul. I got a lot of people in this city. Oh, God's people said. So he spoke. He presented that gospel in that old hellion place. And the Lord saved a bunch of them. Now, I want you to listen. How these people are described in this particular text. Notice what it says. It gives a description of what they were before they were saved. They were under a damnatory sentence, but also they had horrible lifestyles that went along with it. Be not deceived. Don't be a fornicator or an idolater or adulterers or effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. Both of those describes homosexual lifestyle in verse 9. Nor thieves, nor covetous, that's greedy of money, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom. So it gives you a list of people that will not inherit the kingdom. Now I want you to know something real pretty here. Look at verse 11. Such were some of you. But you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. Oh, God's people said. He not only changed her, He not only saved her soul, but listen to me, beloved, He changed her life. The walk of no condemnation is a changed life. If I'm not under a damnatory sentence no more. I've been set free from the sin curse, but my walk is different now than it used to be. How I live now is different than I used to be. I'm not changing to get saved, or I don't do these things to get saved. I'm already saved. I do what I do because I love Jesus. That's why you do it. You don't do it to try to bring honor to yourself. You live for the Lord because you love the Lord. And the Lord puts that in your heart the day that you're born again. We used to sing a song here at the church, I will serve thee. Because I love thee. You have given life to me. I was nothing before you found me. You have given life to me. I ain't never forgot that. I'm working. I'm a servant. I'm working. But I ain't doing it to get saved, Stewie. I'm not doing it to get saved. I'm telling you I'm not. I'm doing it because I am. And I want to live a life that's well-pleasing to my Savior. And if you're here today and born again, the Holy Spirit puts that in you the same way that He put it in me. I want to please Him. I really desire something that the Scripture says, and Jesus was preaching on it. He talked about a parable of the servants, and one of the things He had said to a servant that was faithful, y'all remember what it is? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you love it? Don't you covet that? The book of Revelations, it teaches that, you know what we're going to do throughout eternity in Revelations 22:3? It says, my servants will serve me. I get no greater joy than serving Him now, but my service will be even better, beloved, once I get there. Let's move on now. All right, here's what we're talking about, no condemnation. I'm going to ask you to enter that place with me. The time of it's now. The place of it's in Christ. The walk of it. It's a different walk. And then number 4. The gospel of no condemnation. Let's go back to our text in Romans and let's start to wind this up. Book of Romans. The walk of no condemnation. As we walk not after the flesh, we walk after the what? The Spirit. Now number 4, we're going to start in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Y'all know what message that is? That's the gospel. The gospel message is a message of life. The gospel message is a message of life. The message that Christ died on Calvary, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, was buried, and He rose again the third day. That's the message of life. I talked to people. You know what? John MacArthur did a sermon. It's on sermon audio. It says, how can you be saved if you don't know what the gospel is? I thought that was a good sermon. I listened to it. He did a good job with it. It's a really good sermon. How can you be saved if you don't know what the gospel is? The gospel is a message, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Christ died, was buried, rose again the third day. It's the message of life. When you trust that message, you know what God does for you? He gives you eternal life then. You were under a damnatory eternal sentence here. But when you trust Jesus, you're set free, completely set free from all of that. Completely set free. The law of the Spirit is the gospel, and it sets you free from the law of sin and death. I'm no longer under the curse of the law. I'm no longer under a damnatory sentence. Where am I at now? I'm in Christ. I'm like being in the ark. That's where I'm at. So the gospel of no condemnation is that Christ died for you, was buried for you, and rose again the third day. When you trust that message, what does He do? He sets you free. Gives you everlasting life, a home in the Father's house. Home in the Father's house. And sets you free from that damnatory sentence. I'm not under no condemnation. I don't worry about it. I don't worry about it. What if you die this week? I'm ready to go up. What if Jesus is coming? I'm ready to go up. Either way, I'm ready to go up. I'm not worried about it. I've been free. Been set completely free. Scripture says, whom the Son, remember it? Whom the Son sets free, they shall be free indeed. How do you get free? You got to be in the Son. You got to trust the Son. Well, that's the gospel of no condemnation. Now let's look at verse 4a here. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice what it says. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, I want to give this to you again because I give it to you a billion times. But if you're going to be saved by your deeds, here's what's demanded. You've got to keep His law 100%. Have you done that? Now, if you have, talk to me after services and we'll talk about your line. Because you broke it. You not only break God's law. Well, let's just take one of them. You might not have. Have you ever stolen? Have you ever murdered? Have you ever committed adultery? Have you ever done any of these things? Have you ever lied? I mean, go on and on. Have you ever done any of these things? Now, you might not have broken in action, but have you ever done it in your thoughts? Jesus said not only do you break the law, your action, but you can also break it in your thoughts. So we're in a congregation full of lawbreakers. Every one of us has. Every one of us has. There's only been one person that didn't. Y'all know who that is? Even lost people say this. There's only been one perfect man. Who is it? Jesus. He kept it 100%. He never even had an evil thought. He never even had an evil thought. He never committed an evil deed. He never known that in mind or in action. He was the perfect man. Does everybody in the house agree? 100% perfect. He's the only one that He was born under that law. Hear me. He was born under the law so that He could keep it for you. So that He could keep it for you. Now watch this here. Verse 14, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, Jesus paid all of our condemnation by dying and rising again. And then what else He does is He charges to us His righteousness. He gives us His righteousness. I witness to people sometimes and they'll say, well, Jeff, how much does it take to get there? I don't know if we're talking about money or deeds. I don't know which one, but I say, well, it takes 100% righteousness to get there. That's what it takes. 100%. Now, everybody in the house knows, who is the only 100% perfect man? Jesus. Now, here's what happens, and here's what it means to be saved. Here's what it is. He takes your sins, and He charges, hear me, 100% of your sin to Jesus. And then what else does He do? He takes 100% of His righteousness and charges that to you. That's why when you read the book of Revelations, everybody in heaven has on that white robe of His righteousness. We're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a glorious salvation. And it's the only way that you can die and know that you're ready to go. The only way that can happen is if you do that. You got to have His righteousness. Number 6. This is the last one. Can you believe it? 6 points in this short amount of time. Let's talk about the change of no condemnation. We talked about that a little bit. Let's look at verses 4, 5, and 6 now. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. How do we walk? How do we live? We walk after what? We walk after the Spirit. It's the spiritual things that means the most to me. It's the spiritual things that matters more than anything else to me. How did I get that way? It happened when I was born again. It happened when I saved. It's the spiritual things that matters to me. I mean, I like to do things, you know. I still like to lift weights, and I still like to watch sport. I still like to do things. But the things that matters most to me is the spiritual things. Everything else has took a back seat since Jesus moved in. Everything else has took a back seat since Jesus has moved in. And that's the change of no condemnation. They that are after flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is to be worldly minded. It's death. But to be spiritually minded, that's what happens when you get saved. That's what happened used to it. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. It gives you a spiritual mind. Well, when you're no longer under condemnation, you say, well, Jeff, if I was not under condemnation, if I was set free from the law, and if I was saved by Christ's righteousness and that alone, I'd go out here and have my fill of sin. You would if you was lost. But there's a change. When you receive no condemnation, there's a change in your life. Scripture says, old things pass away, all things become. You get a change of living. I work for the Lord. I do. I've been a pastor 35 years. I work for the Lord. I seek to live a godly and a moral life. I do. I want to. If I could do it, I would never sin. But if anybody tells you they don't sin, follow them around about a week and see if that really tells them the truth. No one is without sin. Even after you're born again, and even though you're not under no condemnation, you still sin. The thing that I look forward to more than anything else is getting what kind of body? I'll get a new one of these days. And though I'm changed, in this body I still ain't perfect. Well, this thing weights me down. Not because I'm gaining weight, but this thing weights me down. Do you still have evil thoughts? I mean, if someone cuts you off in traffic, do you go, oh, God bless you, brother? And if you say, that's what you do, talk to me. I mean, yeah, after service is about your line. I mean, there's things that, you're not perfect. I'm changed. I have a spiritual mind. But at the same time, I'm not what? I'm not perfect. I try to be, and so do you, but we're not. That's why we needed Jesus. And that's why we needed Him to start with. We got spiritual minds. I know, folks, that they make professions of faith, but their mind's all on worldly things. If you got a spiritual mind, your mouth will reveal it. God gave you a spiritual mind. Larry, in the new birth, He gave you a spiritual mind. That's why you like to hear spirit. You know why you're sitting in the pews listening to this old dry preacher up here? Because you got a spiritual mind. You have a desire to hear His Word. You know why you read His book? Because you have a desire to hear His Word. We got a spiritual mind. It's the spiritual things that matters most to me. Sometimes people talk about their children and want their children to be successful. Don't all of us want our children to be successful? But the problem is we want our children, when we're talking about successful, we're talking about money and homes and cars. And all these kinds of things. A person can have all these things and die lost. It's the spiritual things that matters to me. That's what matters more than anything else. Eternal life is what matters more. What I want for my children and grandchildren. I want them to have eternal life. I want them to go to heaven. I want them to be with me forever. More than anything else, people push children into the material and the worldly and push them away from the spiritual. I'm going to die one of these days if the Lord don't come. And you know what's going to mean the most to my family? What do you think is going to mean the most to my family? Yeah, you get to see. I'll see you later. I'll see you later. knowing where you're at comforts you. How many of you lost a loved one in the past 5 years? Raise your hands. What was your comfort? Your comfort was where they went. Your comfort was who they're with. Right? Your comfort was who they're with. What's your other comfort? You're going to see them again in a little while. John 16, Jesus said this, "In a little while you shall not see me. Yet again, in a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father." That's how it is. Well, this is a blessed text. This is a blessed text. And I'm going to invite you this day to enter the position of no condemnation. I'm going to invite you to leave the condemnatory sentence that you're under, and I'm going to invite you to move over and enter this place of no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Won't you do that today? Won't you do that today? Let's all stand. Thank you.